T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Off a long weekend of partying, drinking, doing whatever else up in the Hamptons and other places. Elliott Shore Parks, and he's sponsored by Hooters. Wing Wednesday's back at Hooters. All you can eat wings and fries, just $19.83. Check out the 6 for 6 happy hour every weekday afternoon at Hooters. ESP.
What's up? How you guys doing?
How are you?
I'm good. I got a nice little tan over the weekend. It's always a good way to start your summer, so excited.
Yeah, we'll talk about your little mini vacay coming up a little later. But they did look like fun. I saw some pictures on Instagram.
Yeah, brought the bachelor party shirt up to the Hamptons. Had a little photo shoot by the pool. So
you did. I saw you in a yard or
a
winery.
Like a winery. Yeah. Come on, man.
I'm a
yard.
Well, this big yard.
Yeah.
No. I was talking about the picture from behind with the house.
Oh yeah,
where
yeah.
You guys
yeah,
are
yeah.
sitting out
yes,
around
by
this
the pool.
Fire pit. I felt like I was watching a TV show.
Wow. Maybe a nice new Bravo reality show coming up.
Seriously.
Yeah. Talk about a dream come true.
All right, Elliot. I
would love to see you.
The Real House Husbands of WIP. Yeah. Doing the confessionals would be good.
Like, it's so true. He's destined to be on a reality
one day.
Show.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Feels like it sometimes at this station. So
right. You're funny. So what if you could pick any reality genre to do, like a comp of what you'd like to do, what would the show be?
I mean, I think you got to go Housewives, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the biggest one out there. Probably fits the most of what, you know, my genre would be. So,
what
yeah, I think
like.
You got to go Housewives.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Ike's a fan of the reality shows.
That's why I'm laughing. I would be watching.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go out, go to nice restaurants, you know.
No, I feel
gossip.
Honestly, I feel like our hour now in the show has turned into a reality show series. You know what I mean?
Well, especially when we talk Sixers.
Yeah, I know. Which just leads me into what you think of the hire of Nick Nurse.
Yeah, I think it's a great hire. I think Sixers fans should feel really good about it because I think over the last 2 weeks, there's been a lot of where's this franchise at? Are they on the downswing? Should they blow it up? Or are they never going to win a title? I think this validates everything I've been saying, which is that they are still one of the best teams in the league and that they're legitimate title contenders because Nick Nurse wouldn't take this job if he wasn't signing up for, in my opinion, an elite team. And I think that the Sixers, the way he took this job, he knows he has a chance to win next year. Nick Nurse was the best head coach available, and this wasn't an offseason where there were a ton of terrible jobs. The Bucks were available. The Suns were available. We'll see if the Celtics become available. Maybe not, but at least there was an idea it might be. So ultimately, he looked around, and one of the best coaches in the league said, I will go to the Sixers. So I think Sixers fans should feel excited about the fact that Nick Nurse picked them, and I think he will make them a better team.
How much better?
Well, they were already one of the best teams. So I think that what you've seen with Nick Nurse
there he
is – Well, I'm just saying, what you've seen with Nick Nurse is he's consistently gotten the best out of his players. Year one, he was a rookie head coach. He had Kawhi Leonard. They won the title. Next year, they lose Kawhi. They still win over 50 games with, let's be real, a roster that's not that good. Kyle Lowry was better back then.
Sure.
But Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, these are role players.
They lost in the conference semis, which
yeah.
is probably where they should have lost.
And then
he maxed out.
Yeah, yep. And then he has a year where they have a bunch of injuries. But the year after that, their over-under, I think, was something like 35 games, and they almost won 50 games.
They lost in the first round of the playoffs is the key detail you're not mentioning.
No, but the key part is he has gotten the best out of his talent every year. I don't think there's a single year you can look at the Raptors and said they underachieved because they don't have a great roster. He has always gotten the best out of his players. Now with the Sixers, he has one of the best rosters in the NBA. So I think that you'll go from a team that, and Doc had his strengths for sure. But I think the main difference is, if you look at how the Sixers have lost this series, they've lost them on the margins, close losses. They're not losing in five games. They're losing on the last shot of a game seven. They're losing at the very end of game seven to the Hawks. Obviously, Celtics game seven, not as competitive. But if Nick Nurse can come in and give them a 5% edge when it comes to scheme, because he is one of the more innovative coaches in the league. That's how he got his reputation. The things he does on offense, how he asks his defenders to defend, all those things. So I think if he can come in and take this roster from a really good roster, but I don't think they ever out-schemed people. Doc Rivers, that just wasn't his strength, especially in making adjustments. I think Nick Nurse can give them the 5% edge they need in these close games to get out of the second round and to continue and advance in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not – listen, I'm okay with the hire. I don't have a problem with it, so I want to make that very clear. I don't have a problem with it. Is he the best of the bunch that was out there? I think only time will tell. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's won a title just like Frank Vogel won a title, just like Mike Budenholzer won a title in Milwaukee. So he's not the only coach that won a title. They all needed a star player in order to do it. Mm-hmm. None of them did pretty much without their star player. And as far as coaching guys to sort of overachieve in the NBA, yeah, he's not the first coach we've seen do that with a group of guys. But how does that coach translate that to coaching star players? Because it's one thing to coach guys who most people don't expect a lot from. So you're almost getting them to buy into something and think of a group as a whole, mm-hmm. collectively, and all for one, one for all sort of mentality. And you can kind of overachieve to be a 500 ball club, make the playoffs, but you're really not a threat, and you're going home in the first round for the most part. But when you come to a city like Philadelphia and you're coaching a team that has underachieved and has star players, yeah, I don't know where's his track record that says he's able to coach a guy like Joel Embiid and get him to be the player everybody wants him to be. Or if James Harden is coming back, can he coach James Harden to not disappear in the fourth quarter of games? Like, that's really what he's going to be judged on, not regular season records. We talk about all this regular season stuff. Well, I mean, unless he's coming here and is going to get you to the conference finals and NBA finals.
We've done the regular season.
Yeah, we've done that. Doc Rivers was an NBA champion when he came here. Like, we've done that.
So where I'd push back on that a little is, where the regular season does matter is, if you look at last year, Game 7 was in Boston. The mm-hmm. year before, they went down 0-2 because they started in Miami. Part of that because Joel was hurt. But they've not had home court advantage. So I do think
we lost when we were the number one seed to a 5'11 guard with John Collins.
100%. 100%. So that was definitely a bad loss. But where I think Nick Nurse can come in and change things is a couple ways. But one is, I do think Joel and James need someone that's going to push them, right? I think that he is going to come in and say, look, Joel, here's a comparison I would use. When Chip Kelly came in with the Eagles, Chip Kelly just ran his system, right? He was going to run it no matter what. Sam Bradford was running RPOs. Nick Sirianni comes in, and he built his offense around Jalen. I don't think, not to compare Nick to Chip Kelly straight up, but I do think Nick Nurse is a little more going to come in here and say, this is what's worked for me, and this is how we're going to do it, whereas opposed to just catering to everything Joel and James want. And I think that's what they need a little bit. I think Joel needs someone to come in and say, you need to make faster decisions with the ball, and we are going to emphasize that. You need to maybe drop a little bit of weight because you're running slow by the end of this year. So I think Nick Nurse, in that perspective, is not just going to cater to him the way, let's be honest, Brett Brown and to a certain extent Doc Rivers have.
What is he going to do to get Joel Embiid to lose weight if he doesn't want to lose weight?
Well, Joel has to want to. I agree with that.
Yeah, that's
my
whole
point. Then it doesn't matter who the head coach is, right? I think that you want to have a head coach that's going to ask things of his stars and to make changes. And I think Nick Nurse has shown he's able to get the best of his players in Toronto, but I do think he has a personality, and you've even seen it with how he's gone back and forth with Joel in the media last year in the playoffs. I think he's going to push Joel a little bit more. I'm not in the camp of Joel absolutely has to get pushed and he's a loser mentality and all that stuff, But I do think Joel's at a point in his career where something has to change a little bit, whether it's how he takes his body. So at the end of the year, he's 100%. But I really think the main thing is Joel needs to make faster decisions with the basketball. That's what you see in the playoffs. The Boston Celtics were able to change how they guarded him because he was sloppy with the basketball.
Yeah.
One thing Nick Nurse's offenses do is they move the ball quickly. And so I think Joel is going to become a better player in that regard under Nick Nurse because he's going to hopefully teach him how to make faster decisions with the ball.
All right. Let's take some phone calls here. Say hi to Elliot. Chris in Middletown. Chris, what's up? How are you?
Ike.
What's up, Chris?
Johnny Marks.
Hi.
Holler at your guy.
What's up, Chris?
No.
Holler at your guy. You changed it. What are you doing?
Boy.
An 80 from Deptford thing? You changed the last word and you're making it your own?
Who?
Exactly.
That guy. Yeah.
What's up, Chris?
Anyway. Yo. You put me on with ESP. God, that's tough.
What up, Chris?
How
you doing?
I thought I was going to follow Chuck, and I was excited. And then instead, you go the polar opposite and give me ESP.
Well, what do you think of this hire? You disagree with me, I guess?
In the one of the great drops that Jack gives us with, her ex-coach, no.
You don't like – all right,
with Doug.
What don't you like about it?
What I don't like about it is – you still haven't gotten that compliment to Embiid. So I don't care what coach you put in there until you put a true compliment to Embiid.
Well, you don't think James Harden compliment him? He did lead the league in assists and make him MVP.
How far did they get last year?
They lost in the second round.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, yeah. All right. But do you think James Harden played well last year?
No. Do we have a ring? Do we have a parade other than the MVP one that
Chris, it's difficult to judge a player just if they win. That means that only the players that were on the winning team or the players that had successful seasons.
Yeah, and to the James thing, it will be interesting to see if he comes back now. Because what Nick Nurse asks of his players is definitely not
so,
what James does in terms of hustling on defense and, talk about making quick decisions. James still gets in that mode where he dribbles the air out of the ball and they're starting their offense with, 8 seconds, 9 seconds left on the shot clock.
So it was actually what I wanted to ask you. Do you believe this makes it more likely or less likely, or does it not matter with Nick Nurse being hired, James Harden coming back or not? Ike and I were talking about this before. Maury and Nurse are on the same page about whether they want Harden back or what the vision is with Harden or without Harden. Mm-hmm. But do you think this makes it more likely or less likely?
So the reason I still think it could be likely is that you only hire Nick Nurse if you are going to try to win a title next year. And it comes back to the same thing we always come back to with James Harden is how are you going to replace him if you get rid of him? And Maury needs to earn his money and be creative. But they are a worse team without James Harden unless they're able to replace him. We could talk about Fred VanVleet. I think Kawhi is a little interesting. But I still think that because they're obviously trying to win next year, there is still a real chance James comes back.
But I don't agree that this has to be this, it's all or nothing, all in next year for Nick Nurse. When Nick Nurse is looking at a job, he's looking at stable ownership. He's looking at a front office that he trusts and he has a relationship with. And he's looking at Joel Embiid. So you're still going to win 45, 48 games if you don't have James Harden and you bring somebody else in with Tyrese Maxey. So, I don't agree with that. He has to have this mentality of, I'm not taking the job unless we have a chance.
Well, but he would take it if he thought he had a chance to win a title here. Otherwise, he could have gone,
yeah,
he has a chance
year.
To win a Phoenix.
Yeah, but
he has a chance to win in Phoenix. He has a chance to win in Milwaukee, right? So why would he take a job where he didn't have a chance when he had those realistic chances to go and win right away in other franchises?
But he does have a chance.
If you have James Harden.
Yeah, but you believe that James Harden next year gives you a better chance than not having him, and I won't even argue that point, but he's not looking at everything from a one-year scope.
No, I agree with that. He's coming here for multiple reasons. I'm just saying.
He ain't coming here for James Harden.
No, Elliot. But he's coming here because, first of all, he said he thought James Harden was one of the toughest players in the league to game plan for, and he said that within the last year. So he does think highly of James Harden in that regard, but also he's coming here because the Sixers have one of the best rosters in the league, and they have that because James Harden is on the roster.
Starting five.
Yeah, starting five. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say watching that Heat Celtics game last night was not kind for the Sixers depth. If you look at how some of the Celtics and Heat players
carried that
whole game. Yeah.
All right. Well, Joey in South Philly, I don't know if he agrees with what you're saying, Joey. Go ahead, Joey. How are you?
Yeah. Listen, this dude Elliott, you've got to hire another guy or something. It's getting out of hand now. For real.
Well, Joey, he is from.
Clap your hands.
Yeah. Well, Joey, what do you think I'm clueless about, other than everything?
You're saying, wait. First of all, Embiid won the MVP because they didn't give it to the Joker for the third year in a row. The Joker deserved the MVP.
No, he won the MVP because he was better than Jokic this year.
You don't know basketball.
Tell me what Jokic was better at this year than Embiid.
Everything.
Name one thing besides passing. Joel won more games. He had more points. He was more important on his offense because he scored more points on offense. Tell me why Jokic deserved it over Embiid this year.
He runs that offense like it's.
So does Embiid. How do you think the Sixers' offense?
He knows where the player's going before the player knows.
Yeah, he's great at passing. I agree.
All right, so Joey, can we agree that Embiid also had a great year, though? Whether or not you thought he should have won the MVP, he had a great year, right?
Excellent year.
So let's move on from that. Go ahead with your other problems.
Harden's
with Elliot.
Not the answer, man. The first step, I like Nurse, but he ain't going to get along with Harden. He's not going to get along with Harden. Harden's lazy, and I think JoJo's lazy too sometimes. He is. He goes into double coverage, triple coverage. He forces shots, bad shots. It's got to change, man. Listen, I'll keep JoJo and Maxie, make a couple signings. They got to get rid of Harden.
So, Joey, I actually agree with you on the Harden thing a little bit. I think from the perspective of having him on the roster, they're a better roster. But I do wonder how he is going to mesh with James Harden. I think Joel is willing to change. I do wonder if James Harden at this point of his career is interested in signing up for something where whole new offense, like all those things, or if he just rather go to Houston and do his own thing.
Well, he wants basketball freedom.
Yeah, he wants basketball freedom. He wants to be the center of the offense. I don't think that's happening with Nick Nurse. Or is Nick Nurse going to accept, bad defensive possessions, not getting rid of the ball quickly or starting the offense quickly?
Or is all of this just a ploy by James Harden to try to get as much money out of the Sixers as he can? All this basketball freedom and all this nonsense.
It all feels calculated.
Like, is this just a way to try to get as much money out of the Sixers as he can from an extension deal, a long-term deal?
To your point, you don't need to have all these things leaked out if you know you're getting money.
Right.
If he knows the Rockets are going to give him whatever he wants, what's the point of having all these things come out? Or if the Sixers are giving him whatever he wants, you don't need to have all these reports. So I do think all these things come from Harden trying to make the Sixers think there is a lot of interest outside of Philadelphia.
So you better give me that extra year.
Right.
So then let me ask this then. So should we be encouraged that Daryl Morey seems to be reluctant to give James Harden a fully max deal? Like, that seems like there's been some progress made through Daryl Morey's thick skull about James Harden and what his future looks like here and what he should commit to James Harden, right? Like, that should be a positive.
And
maybe this hiring of Nick Nurse had less to do with Harden and more to do with Embiid and how you would use him. And I guess Harden would be a part of the equation. In other words, he's not the driving force behind who's going to be the head coach. So we all assume that would have been D'Antoni.
I think the main reasons they hired Nurse was A, because he has a similar vision as Daryl Morey in the type of players he likes, how they want to run offenses, analytics, those type of things. And then it's Joel. I don't think James played a large part in this hire.
Agreed.
I don't.
That's a good sign, then.
Yeah, and I also don't get the sense that Morey's just going to give James whatever he wants.
Another good sign.
Right? I think if they sign Harden, my guess is it's like 3 years.
I said that, too. I said 3 years,
120. Something along those lines. Yeah. I think if there was real money out there for James,
that's real money.
No, sorry. I meant like, sorry. Well, the max is like two something.
There's
we actually live in a world now where you had 3 years, $120 million.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's only a $5 million raise.
One team has cap space, and that's the Rockets. No other team has cap space to do it, so you need to do a sign and trade. And there's not a real fit outside of maybe the Suns that would want Harden. Mm-hmm. And the market has already shown that. I think Morey is just more or less reading the market and saying, well, I don't have to give him 4 years. Right? Like, would he be willing to do it if he thought it was a real threat? Maybe.
Well, I mean, if the love affair was like we all portray it to be, if he's googly out over James Harden, he's going to give him what he wants, then it would be a foregone conclusion that he was getting a max deal and he was coming back here.
And to that point, we also all thought, well, they're definitely going to hire Mike D'Antoni because
that's a
Houston guy, that's a James guy. And it seems like he was never in serious consideration.
These are positive things.
He was never listed as a candidate. From what I know, he was not interviewed. So it doesn't seem this idea that we were worried about of them just doing whatever to get James back is
right.
in any way coming to fruition.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to another innovator on offense. Elliot Shore Parks. Herb from Northeast Philly joins us. Herb, how are you?
Hi. What's happening?
What's up, Herb?
We got a lot of issues, okay? There's issues, okay, with Harden, okay? After what they call extracurricular activities.
Ooh, that boy almost got a 10-incher.
Okay? If you want to play... If you want to play for my team, you understand? I'm talking like the coach now.
Right.
If you want to play for me and you want to take this team from 52 W's to 62 W's, okay, that's 62 wins.
Right.
You got to do this and that and this and that. You got to go home, okay, with a couple beers in your hand. And stay in your home, okay?
And what do you say, Herb? What do you say when he says, nah, I'm cool, I'm going out,
the
coach?
The party game, listen, the party game is over. Everybody knows it, okay? Embiid is the one selling the tickets. 22,000 every night. I'm going down there now. We got concert tonight.
Uh-oh.
Okay? We could have had the finals here. If they would have played, you know, I'm gonna tell you. Last night, I went to bed at 7 o'clock. I'm not watching the Celtics or the Miami Heat.
Those Sixers took money out of your pocket, huh? You would have been working a couple more days.
Nice preview of the NBA Finals, too.
I'm disgusted with the way we played a couple weeks ago. This is ridiculous.
Man,
okay, with the players that we have. We should have been able to get to the third round and get to the final.
Herb, are you good with X's and O's or no?
I'm good with everything, brother.
Jimmy's and Joe's.
Yeah, so you're an X and O guy. So you're good at drawing up schemes and plays coming out of huddles.
Yeah, I know a little bit about that, okay?
All right.
Okay, I got a guy, Brandon Burkett, 6'6", that played basketball at University of New Haven, Connecticut. I make him my assistant coach.
So some random basketball player from a college is your assistant coach?
Already building the staff.
doesn't have nothing to do. The idea is we need guys that can shoot the three ball, okay?
Yep.
Consistent three ball. Okay, that's what we need. And it's not just one guy, two guys. Boston Celtics, they have four guys on the court, sometimes five, that are shooting the three ball.
Not last night, that's for sure,
well,
Herb.
Last night it came.
They live by the three and die by the three last night.
It came to fruition that guess what? The curse is over. The seventh game curse is over. You come to Boston, you got a chance. There's a good chance that the away team's going to beat us, and that's what happened.
You want them to learn how to shoot threes. What about getting Embiid to play in the low post? What are you going to do about that?
Yeah, in the low post. That's what I've been talking about for 2 years. Okay?
What?
About playing in the low post. I've been talking about that. How many times I told the bodyguard, get him down in the low post. Tell Doc Rivers he's got to play in the low post.
Well, who's the bodyguard?
I mean, it's a simple.
I think he was trying to tell them, and the bodyguards wouldn't allow him to.
He's trying to be like Michael Jordan. He's trying to do all these different plays. Now his thing this year was. He'll hit the floor, and the referees call a foul. And that's how these other teams.
All right, Herb, listen. Okay. Good to talk to you, man. Thank you. This Herb, Northeast Philly. I guess the whole trade thing is over with. Now he's just back.
It's good to hear him back
on the
show.
Yeah, it's good to hear him back, man. It seemed like he was happy to be back.
He was.
Still can't believe Jack lost him.
He was ready to go. Well, it looks like the bit finally worked.
Yeah, the bit's over. 215-592-9494.
He didn't even want any explanation. He just went straight into his.
Yeah, he was mad. Yeah. There was one person that didn't understand what we were doing, and that was Herb.
That was Herb.
Herb.
The race for Herb.
Yep. Coming up, 100 days from football and the Eagles.
A real sport.
Yep.
Now I'm awake.
Tracking stats later this week.
Oh, yeah?
I hope so.
They're going to be on the field this week. Elliot's going to be out with his pencil. What's he looking for? That's coming up next.
Yellow note.
Hit him high. Hit him low.
Mark Sidorese on 94 WIP. Don't go anywhere. Hey, listen. I wonder if Elliot's a snorer. He doesn't look like a snorer.
No way. Look,
not a snorer. Elliot, you're snoring? Are you a snorer?
My wife says I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you seem like more of a purr. So, you seem like a purr than a snorer.
I don't sense a lot of sleep apnea with you. You look
I sleep well.
You sleep well, yeah. All right, well, listen. I'm not like Elliot. I snore like a train. Sleep apnea, all the above. And I did it for so long. And when I say I did it, I was sleeping. So the only thing I got was a bad night's sleep. But my wife is like kicking me. So I roll over and stop snoring, sleep on my stomach. Then I end up sleeping on my back again and snoring again. If I would have known, it would have been this easy, literally this easy, to end snoring and to get rid of my sleep apnea. And I did it with my dentist, Dr. Eric Pastor. He's the Roerisch for Dentist. And during an appointment recently, in the last year, he asked me about the sleep apnea, and I told him, like, hey, let's try it. So with a dental, FDA-approved dental appliance, sleep apnea is gone. I'm not snoring. I can tell you that my sleep, it feels a lot different. It feels a lot different than it did before. Dr. Pastor helped me. He can help you as well. And also, this was covered by my health insurance. This wasn't dental insurance. This is snoring. This is sleep apnea. It was covered by my health insurance. It may be covered by yours as well. So contact them, Dr. Eric Pastor, the Roerisch for Dentist. You can make an appointment for a free consultation to get in there. Just speak with the sleep team. It's 610-67-SLEEP, 610-67-SLEEP, or the website is drpastor.com, drpastor.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Marks and Reese are back. Tuesdays with Elliot. Robert Ori is going to join us at 4:30. Big Shot Bob. I'll ask him about these same questions with Nick Nurse, James Harden, Joel Embiid, etc. That's coming up.
Big Shot Bob.
Big playoff performer.
Man. Scored the final 7 points of that game three in the 2001 finals. Hit that three-pointer, everybody remembers, but he had scored the last seven for the Lakers that game. Mm. Lakers are going to win that series anyway, but still, tied 1-1 game three. That's the series right there.
Yeah.
Getting that. So.
Well, Tim Donaghy made sure they won't win that series.
That was when he was at his peak, right?
he's active.
But he hit some shots with San Antonio, too. Houston.
Yep.
Earlier with he was part of the 94, 95.
Yeah. I always remember the shot he
hit. Well, he won seven titles, right? Yeah, he won seven titles.
Really?
Is he the GOAT?
Based off titles.
Got rings? Michael who?
I always remember that shot he hit against the Kings. Remember, batted out.
That's the one Marks was talking about.
Yeah, but that wasn't the finals.
No, that was the conference finals. Yeah. Mm.
That's right.
Yeah, well, he joins us coming up in about an hour, 4:30. Our Twitter questions today brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Looking for the best selection of diamond engagement rings, no Philly sales tax, safe, secure parking. Visit marks-jewelers.com for more info. Here's a question. If Elliot was to be cast in a reality show,
oh God,
current or past, what is the best fit for him?
You put this on Twitter?
We will.
Oh, God, I can only imagine the responses.
What's the options?
I think it's a fill in the blank.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure it'll be very kind.
Definitely would be one of the husbands.
Yeah, the
Real Housewives
for sure.
Or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Real Housewives or something. You're one of the husbands for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, of where?
Philly. It could be Philly. Could be Jersey.
The Real Housewives of Philly would be interesting.
No, it'd have to be a suburban town, not Philly.
Yes.
Well, they do major cities. They do like New York.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying you, it's
Real Housewives of King of Prussia.
Narberth.
Oh yeah, Narberth. Yeah, I'm sure Bravo will pick that one up. Yeah.
But they would still call it Philadelphia.
Yeah, they would just be living.
It would just be living.
Be the main line is probably where. Right.
What about like a Road Rules or one of those ones? The
Road Rules Challenge.
Yeah, what's the original one that I can't get the name of? The Real World.
Real World. They did that in Philly.
And yeah, they did. In Old City, the house was.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Well, all right, there you go. Yeah. You can always aspire to something, Elliot.
Yes. Career goals.
Well, Elliot, we're 100 days from football. 100 days.
Crazy.
And where's the music?
I know.
You get to.
We're Jack on that.
You get to. So is there a practice this week that you get to.
Yeah.
That you get to attend?
Maybe. I think there's a chance this week. Yeah. So. Yeah, 100 days. I think it will be the first chance this week. It's not
so
sure.
So Jim McClain said Thursday.
Yeah, that's what.
So the reason why
I don't know if we're allowed to say it.
Who said that? So the reason
Jeff McClain put it out on Twitter.
Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah. So Jeff McClain's reporting.
No? There's no
there
ripping.
We go.
Okay.
I just saw Jeff McClain today.
Yeah,
he's doing his podcast in here.
No, but still ducking me.
So
still
is ducking. He said hi to me. He's like, "Hey, John, how you doing?" I'm like, "Hey." What's going on?
Hey, John. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
So the reason you haven't been in a practice is there hasn't been a practice, right?
Yeah. They're on the field doing drills and stuff. This is the week where they can start doing 7-on-7, 11-on-11.
And that's when you're allowed to go, or that's where they have to allow you to view
it? I believe so. Yeah, there's two that they have to let us watch.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So they're not going to have pads on, or I would not think. It's not going to be, full go. But this is a real – if everybody's there, that's also an interesting thing. What players are not going to be at these? They are voluntary, but a lot of times if players aren't there, it's to send a message. But we'll get a look at the depth chart to see where certain guys are at. Who do they have at linebacker? Who do they have at safety? Is Cam Jurgens a starting right guard? So these practices are a lot about just seeing where the depth chart is right now. Yeah.
Speaking of Jurgens being over there at right guard, what do you make of Baldy putting out there that Lane Johnson wants to play next to a bigger guard than as opposed to a 300-pound guard that plays center?
Well, I think it explains why they drafted a guard and they were talking about – who was the guy who retired that they brought in for a tryout?
DJ Fluker.
Oh, DJ Fluker.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Bit of a fluke.
What a dad joke.
So right now, Elliot, your prediction at starting right guard for the Eagles.
I think it'll be Cam Jurgens this Thursday when I'm out there, for sure.
What about when the season starts?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Tyler Steen that they drafted from Alabama. He's a bigger guy. He played tackle in college. I could see him getting some reps there. I mean, Cam Jurgens was a second-round pick. So ultimately,
to be a center.
But you got to give him a chance at one point. You can't have him sit for the first 2 years of his contract on the bench unless you just don't think he's good. And if it's a miss, it's a miss. But you have to at least give him a chance.
Well, maybe a miss at guard, but not at center. I don't know if he's big enough to be over there playing at center. That's always been my concern with him because he's a center. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I wouldn't play Jason Kelce at right guard.
Right.
But is he that much smaller than, say, Amalu?
No, but he looks smaller.
In person, they definitely look – he looks
He looks way smaller.
Yeah, but on paper, I don't think it's that big of a difference.
Yeah, but that's listed weight tonight.
Yeah. Seeing him in the locker room, there's definitely
– all I'm saying is when I saw that tweet from Baldy, I know how close he is with Lane.
Yeah.
And he's over in the barn and they do the workout stuff.
And
so, you know, Lane may sometimes be confiding in Baldy, just talking ball with Baldy. And Baldy is more or less speaking freely.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean those type of concerns, like, man.
Yeah, do I need a 270-pound guard next to me?
Because that puts pressure on Lane.
Right.
Well, and I know when he signed with the Steelers, it was just kind of a quick afterthought, but Seumalo was extremely popular.
Always like
Seumalo. Kelce almost like gets brought to tears when he talks about
Kelce. Said it's the most intelligent player that he's ever played with on the line.
Lane's always played next to him, you know, last few years, obviously, before then he didn't. But yeah, I think the Seumalo loss, this is why I thought he was the most important free agent to bring back in some ways. And people fought back on that. But if their offensive line's a problem next year, the years where they have struggled, it has been offensive line.
Yeah.
And so if Cam Jurgens not the answer, they absolutely have to bring in some type of veteran that has played the position. And it sounds like a bigger body veteran.
Or what about the kid? Is the kid, can they get him up to speed? The Bama kid they just
drafted. So he played tackle in college. He did play guard at the Senior Bowl. And Jeff Stallone's a great coach. I think it'd be tough to get him ready for week one.
Right.
Cam Jurgens is... I would be pretty surprised.
He's probably going to be in there.
He's not starting
week
one.
I just wonder how long it lasts.
How long he's out there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Fair enough. This year's different for everybody because the Eagles are coming off a Super Bowl appearance where there was a narrowly lost the game.
Yeah.
They are the odds-on favorite to win the NFC. They are closely right behind the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Going into the season. So, like, last year we were talking about Jalen Hurts, the guy. They should have traded for Russell. I mean, such a different offseason this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think the task at hand for Nick Sirianni is incredibly different, too. Not only has he lost both his coordinators, from just everyday perspective, he's, A, having to monitor the defense a little bit more just because Sean Desai is new, you know, monitor that. But also, he's lost his play caller. So, not only do you have that off-the-field kind of issue you're dealing with from a coaching perspective, but I really, truly believe that the toughest part of this year for the Eagles is going to be just dealing with all the ramifications of coming off the Super Bowl. Your offseason was shorter. People now want to be paid where maybe last year it was a little more okay, all right, I'll sacrifice for the team. Mm-hmm. AJ was, you know, he got the most targets on the team. But you remember in the playoffs, like there seemed like there was maybe a little bit of unhappiness there. Devontae is in a contract year. How's he going to handle if he's not a huge part of it? You have two running backs that are both in, I believe, one-year deals, essentially, right? DeAndre Swift has 1 year left. Penny signed a one-year deal. So last year when you were 8-0, you got off to such a good start. It was everyone was going to keep quiet about anything they were upset about. This year, you see it all the time with Super Bowl teams. Once you come off playing in that game, things change. 2017, they won the game, obviously, but the next year we saw the ramifications of that. We were still talking about the Super Bowl logo being up in the locker room in like week 9. That team never really moved on from that Super Bowl. So that'll be a challenge for Nick, and I think he's done it in some ways already at press conferences he's been at, but can he move on from that game? Can he kind of deal with the ramifications players are going to have after, you know, a really successful year?
Real questions.
Yep.
Well, the Devontae one is a huge one.
Yeah. No,
like,
for sure.
This is probably the most important year of Devontae's life in a way, right? When you consider if he has an outstanding year, he will get generational wealth after this. And he's probably already achieved enough where he is going to get paid. But the numbers he puts up this year are going to directly impact in a lot of ways.
How much
guaranteed money he gets, how many teams are interested at the end of this year. So that's a tough thing to balance. And that's on Nick, and that's on Jalen too. Like, there are a lot of guys on the field now that are going to need the ball. That's why I think the DeAndre Hopkins thing, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if you want to bring that into the locker room. Nothing against him, but just in terms of targets, taking snaps from people,
I agree.
Those type of things.
And you're talking about a guy who is a border. He's already had a borderline Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
So he's coming in with a certain mindset that he's already accomplished and established himself more than any of you guys have as a wide receiver. Yeah, it would be
with AJ.
Yeah, it would be a tough room to have to juggle the egos.
If you look at his career, he's averaged almost 10 targets a game.
Yeah,
guys that were not AJ, Devontae, and Goddard last year averaged about 4 targets a game. So unless you're taking targets away from those three, or you're just giving him 4 targets a game, I don't see how that would fit.
Agreed. All right, we'll head back to the phones in a second. How many – I don't think we actually went over with you. I don't even think we did it ourselves. So win-loss total before your first practice of the season, where you have
So I think I had him at 12 when I went through all of it. But I do think they're closer to probably 11 than 14. Like, next year's going to be tough, not just because of the schedule, but it's just so much tougher to repeat success. Everyone's looking at – everyone's ready for you. Everyone knows your strengths. Now they have to come up with a counterpunch instead of kind of last year they were able to catch people by surprises. So I think next year could be a bit of a rocky year.
Rocky year? I got to say 13-4.
All right. So I think it's going to be tough.
So 12, but you wouldn't be surprised with 11, and you would be surprised if it was like last year, 14.
What they have going for them is the NFC is so
Isn't
wide
good,
open.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Yep.
I mean, now what they have going against them is the second-best team in the NFC is in their division, right? So as good as everything went last year for the Eagles, mm-hmm. they did not clinch the division until the last 2 minutes of the last game of the season. Part of that's because Jalen got hurt, but Dak missed 5 games as well, if I remember correctly. So I think, you know, next year I would probably pick them to be the one seed, but I could picture a world where they don't look as impressive during the year, but then they get it rolling come playoff time.
Right.
I got Seattle, at Seattle, at Dallas. At Seattle, at Dallas, Kansas City.
Yes.
And the Jets.
So I think they start 1-1. I think they're going to lose one of those games, whether it's New England or Minnesota.
No.
I think that's a really tough way to start the season.
We're starting off 5-0.
Okay. So we're starting off 5-0, yeah. I think
that's what I have. I went through the schedule. Well, that's what I have.
The Bucs is an easy win week 3. Is it the Rams week 4?
Rams are week 5. No, the Commanders 4. So I got to start off 4-0.
Okay.
And then I got the Rams.
Do you think they definitely win both those first two?
Yeah, they beat New England. They'll beat Minnesota. They beat Tampa Bay. They beat Washington. They beat the Rams.
Now, the Rams game could be a little tougher if Stafford's still healthy.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got them losing to the Jets. So,
yes.
I said they'll beat the Rams and they'll lose to the Jets only because you got to go to L.A. for a late game and then come back and play another late game against the Jets the following week. So, back-to-back road games, I'll give them the game against the Jets. They finally break the streak of having never lost to the Eagles,
and
which we'll have to hear about.
Game,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
right?
It's 4:25. Yep.
Yep.
It's
and
the
then
Fox
the
game.
Dolphins the next week. I think they'll probably split those two. If they lose to the Jets, they'll beat the Dolphins.
Come back, beat the Dolphins, beat Washington, beat Dallas, and then we go through a little bit of a tough stretch. You got to play Dallas, Kansas City, Buffalo, San Francisco, Dallas. So I got us beating Dallas at home. Next week against Kansas City will be tough.
Yeah, I think that's a loss.
We come back, bounce back after everybody loses their damn mind after we lose the Super Bowl rematch. And Buffalo is the big win at home for us this year. We beat Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills at home. And then we get the rematch against San Francisco and the Niners.
I think they win that game.
I think they
no
beat them too.
Yeah.
And then I worry about the back-to-back Dallas-Seattle.
Yep, at Dallas, at Seattle.
Yeah, I worry about that. Yeah, I worry about that. Those two right there.
Yep.
So I think that's our little bump in the road right there. And then we finish up with the Giants and Arizona and the Giants.
Well, but see, I think that
we beat those teams.
The tough thing is teams traditionally start slow. I know you have them at 5-0, but teams traditionally start slow coming off the Super Bowl. So early on, if they don't get off to a 5-0, 6-1 start or whatever.
It could be trouble.
Right. That's, I think, the tough part of the schedule is if you have to get off to a fast
start.
Put
the wins
otherwise,
in the bank early.
Things could get ugly. Now, the good news is it might only take 11 or 12 wins to get the number one seed in the NFC. because I don't think, you know, the Lions are probably the best team in the North. I don't think they're going to get 13 wins. Dallas will be the top competition. And for as much as everyone thinks San Francisco is, they are unaware who their quarterback is right now. And not many teams go into a season completely unaware, who, not just if he's good or not, who it's going to be. It could be Sam Darnold. It could be
Brock Purdy. It's going to be Sam Darnold. You watch.
Okay. Or Trey Lance. I don't disagree. Lance. Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, I think they have the least – well, not the least invested in him. But I think he's probably third on the
I think he's the most talented out of three.
He might be. But, yeah. I think they'll want Trey Lance to an extent to win the job. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, Brock Purdy did what he did last year. But just from a Niners perspective, they don't even know where their quarterback is. So – I really do think, you know, what they need last year to get the one seed, was it 14 wins?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll take 14 wins this year. I think they could win 12 and maybe, you know, get that number one seed.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Hassan is calling from Strawberry Mansion. I think back on the Sixers. Hassan, what's up? How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing this afternoon?
How are you,
Hassan?
What's up, Hassan? What up?
Man, I called in to talk Nick Nurse. I got blessed with ESP being there here to grind him up about his Boston championship tour you went on after they beat us.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. That take didn't hold up all the time.
Now,
I will say they shot really poorly for three games and that ended it. I still think they're a better team than the Heat. But.
Well, they're more talented team than the Heat, but they weren't better coached than the Heat.
They were not. No, I agree. Spoelstra is one of the only coaches in the league I think is a clear competitive advantage.
Yeah, and if you think back, Nick Nurse clearly outcoached a more talented Sixers team when they beat us with Kawhi on that dream shot.
I agree. I think Nick Nurse is on the short list of coaches in the league that could be a competitive advantage. I think most of the coaches don't matter. A lot of them are terrible. Then there's maybe four or five that can win a series because of the coaching. And now that he has a much better roster than he had in Toronto, I think you will see more of that.
Yes, indeed. And I totally disagree with your wins and losses on the Eagles season.
How many?
What do you got him at?
Kansas City, I think we'll play a little better than you guys are already giving us a loss for. Like, we went toe-to-toe with them in the Super Bowl. Like, that should end up a loss already just because they won that
game.
Well, they're just – we're just
predicting wins and losses. And that's – they may win the game, but we can't just
I'd be pretty surprised.
Hedge on the ones we think that they could lose.
You can have them 17-0.
Yeah. And I think the Chiefs are coming off
a bye, too. If we can't pick them to lose against the Chiefs, then why should we pick them to lose against anybody else?
Let's not do it at all.
I think that game is almost a guaranteed loss.
Which means they'll probably win
Which means they'll probably win right. And then they'll lose to Buffalo.
Like you never know what once the ball gets rolling on a season, there's something
that's a tough man.
Differently. Yeah.
Dallas, Kansas City, Buffalo, San Francisco, Dallas, Seattle. Man, that's a tough stretch right there.
I mean, they
that is a tough
Elliot
stretch.
Elliot wanted the league investigated for,
yeah,
for
I think,
doing it to him.
I mean, not to get me started on that again, but I think it was completely disrespectful to the Eagles that they gave them this schedule.
Man.
Opening on, again, I know you think they're going to win the first two, but I think at New England and then Minnesota on the short week is hard.
You got to go 4-1 in the first five minimum.
Well, it's tough to do. Not a lot of teams have done that coming off the Super Bowl.
No, you're right.
Most teams start 2-3, 3-2, something like that.
No, you're absolutely right. But I wonder what the difficulty of their schedule was. Because normally if you're a prime team, you're getting big games coming right out of the gate.
Yeah. So the Dolphins game is a Sunday night at home.
That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. It potentially could be depending.
I mean,
dude,
look,
Tua
last year when he was healthy, I think there was something like
they really got us with these times.
Yeah,
I'm looking at these times right now.
Get ready for a lot of nighttime.
pregame
shows.
Goodness, yes.
I think there's only 2 1 o'clock.
A lot of 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock games on this schedule.
Do they have any 1 o'clock home games?
Washington.
Washington. Okay, that makes sense. I don't think Washington's gonna find themselves. Joshua Harris, he'll be at that game.
Washington and Arizona. Can you believe that?
And but who knows?
Are the only
the year,
two
too.
1 o'clock games, Washington
and
Arizona.
And that's a New Year's Eve game.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, we'll all be, yeah.
Do you think Joshua Harris
Oh, that's a New Year's Eve game.
Yep.
Not New Year's Day game.
And Arizona is likely to be one of the worst teams in football.
How the New Year's Eve is gonna be on a Sunday? Or is that a Saturday?
I don't know.
They do have Saturday games that late in the year.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Will Gannon be the head coach by then?
What's up, Bird Gang?
Yes.
He might make it to there.
Now,
yeah.
Now, will you be able to remain objective that week and cover?
I've always been objective about Gannon. It's other people that let their emotions get in the way.
I just
use stats.
Assistant Coach of the Year, Jonathan Gannon. Yes!
It is a Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Wow, New Year's Eve on Sunday night. I guess everybody will be home like me.
Mm. Whoa, they play New Year's Eve Sunday night?
No, it's 1 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean New Year's Eve is on a Sunday night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Oh, gotcha, yes. Yeah.
No, it's a 1 o'clock game, yes.
Maybe I'll go back out to the Hamptons for that one.
Well, there you go. All right, well, Elliot, thank you. How was the Hamptons? Great weekend?
A lot of fun. Although I will say, so on Sunday, I went to the Blink-182 concert. Beach festivals might be getting a little too old.
Well, it was in Atlantic City, so he went from 3 days partying in the Hamptons, driving all the way to Atlantic City to watch a concert.
Yeah, it was a long few days. Wow. A fun few days, but very fun.
Is that the seeing Swifty?
Yep, seeing Taylor.
A couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it's been a big concert.
The summer hasn't even hit yet. I mean, what do you got left to do?
Could you imagine being that active over the course of a couple weeks, Ike?
It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well,
goodness, man.
I enjoyed living vicariously through your Instagram.
My Instagram's always at Elliot Shore Parks. Anyone want to follow?
Meanwhile, I got a new swing set. That's what I did.
I did see that too.
It's a big weekend.
Yeah. It would look good.
Good swing set.
The question is, did you put it together?
Exactly right. No, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll
show you the video of them rolling it up in like a crane. No, there's no chance I put it together. All right, Elliot, thank you.
Good times.
All right, brother.
We'll talk to you later this week.
After that Eagles practice.
All right. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, hopefully it's on Thursday.
Charting
pros. I'll have my stats. Don't worry.
You will?
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, go sharpen your pencil.
Will do.
Coming up, some possible bad news with one of our stars in town, Ike.
Oh, God.
Ooh, boy.
What happened? Is it a big deal? We'll fill you in coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Hey, listen, let's talk about your hair for a second. It's always a good feeling when you leave the barbershop. I'll leave Razor Bar, and I'll be like, man. Hair's looking good. Got a freshie on a Friday, right? And that's what I have scheduled later this week. I have a haircut appointment. Got a big daddy-daughter dance recital coming up this weekend. So I got to get the fresh haircut. And my hair looks great, and that's because of Dr. Glatton's hair team. Because otherwise I'd be really thin, or you know what? My head would probably be shaved because I would have lost so much hair. And if you want to try to get your hair, save your hair, get your hair back, you could shave your head, and if you like it, it's a good look. A lot of guys do it these days. Awesome. But if you want to get your hair back, the place to go, the people to talk to, is Dr. Glatton's hair team, the most experienced in the Philadelphia region in hair restoration. And it shows in his work, and it shows in my hair, right? So if you want to see my before and after pictures, go to drglatt.com, drglatt.com, or you can call and speak to his hair team right now by calling 610-980-4000, 610-980-4000, drglatt.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.